News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
1 year this month since new e-scooter laws were introduced, and Gardaí are actively now using a new piece of equipment to test e-bikes and e-scooters at the roadside, and they are actually seizing those that don't obey the rules. Conor Faulkner, transport commentator and consultant to the RIAC, joins me now. Conor, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So what's this machine?
Well, it's a dynamometer, which, you know, for all the world is like a small, portable, smart treadmill. So if you imagine a little sort of Garda Blue treadmill, they can put it down on the ground, they can take an e-bike or an e-scooter, mount it on that treadmill, and the smart sensors will tell it how fast this e-scooter is capable of going, its power output and its weight. And from that, they can then tell you whether you're compliant or not with the new laws.
Do you have to get up on it while they're testing it?
No.
My bike, for example, if I am on it, it goes a lot slower than if I let it off on its own. Do you know what I mean?
Indeed,
because my
true.
Weight would slow it down.
Yeah, and the weights will vary. You could have a slight jockey-built person or a very big, substantial prop row.
And the lighter you are.
But which is why it's the unladen weight that that is governed, and the speed and power output. So you stick it up onto this smart treadmill and it will basically tell you whether it's compliant or not. The Gardaí currently have four of these things. You might have seen they were testing it on Dame Street a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. They now have one in each region, and I think the Gardaí in Limerick have been using it to good effect. Recently, I was talking to the guards about it yesterday, and they're quite pleased with the way the kit works. They got it off the Dutch police, who had developed it, and it looks like we're only the second jurisdiction in the world to use it. So what are they finding? Very early days, but it looks anecdotally as if e-bikes, which are different from e-scooters, e-bikes are generally very compliant. No issues really have been found. These are the power-assisted bicycles. E-scooters, unfortunately, seems different. E-scooters are depressingly easy to modify, to disable the speed governor.
To snip the wire that attached the governor.
Well, in some cases you have to. I mean, I thought when I looked at this patch that if you're going to, you know, take away the speed governor on a scooter, I was expecting to go like, I don't know, the dark web or some clever piece of kit or import something from China via something or other. Not a bit of it. Some of them you suspect are designed to be easy to cheat because you literally just have to find one wire and snip it, and then the speed governor doesn't work anymore. And that means you can take your e-scooter at excessive speeds. But apart from that being illegal in its own right, it is, for obvious reasons, a terrible idea. You can put strain on the battery. It can cause battery fires, which are potentially lethal with lithium batteries.
Although, I mean, I presume they're designed to go at maximum speed, and if every jurisdiction can govern it as it so chooses. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, most jurisdictions are settling around 20 to 25 kph. And there's jurisdictions worldwide that have only just started legislating this, including Australia, New Zealand, various European countries, the Germans, ourselves. Everybody's laws are only a year or two old. In terms of building the things, it's really European type approval that's becoming dominant. So the manufacturers of these scooters, whether they're in California or China or Europe itself, are tending to make them to match European type approval criteria. So if you bought it in Europe, it's almost certainly compliant unless you deliberately cheat in some way, shape or form. And as I say, what the guards appear to be finding is that for the scooters especially, there does seem to be a bit of a practice, a bit of a scourge.
Okay, and in terms of your weight, if you are that prop forward and you want to go on a scooter, you may look very silly, but very convenient at the same time. You just have to buy a larger powered scooter, which will still be governed, even though it's got a more powerful engine and maybe a bigger battery. It'll still be governed to a top speed.
Correct. And in the case of the scooter, that's 20 kph. The e-assisted bike, it's 25 kph. And you know what? These are new laws, Pat, governing a new technology. It may well be the case that, you know, as we review this, as the years go by, we'll have to bring in other rules, etc. We might have to talk about cargo bikes, about the width or weight of these things. And we may have to figure that out. But these are kind of good problems to have because it's a terrific new technology and potentially very helpful.
Now, the guards also have to check the diameter of the wheel, because there's a minimum diameter they must be. They also presumably have to check the lights?
Well, yes, and it's quirk in the law, just the way the law works. What our regulations govern is the power and speed of these things. But for them to be manufactured or sold in the European Union, they have to meet a whole range of type approval criteria. And that includes things like wheel size, etc.
I think we have wheel size.
We do. We put it in. And in fact, we directly copied the Brits on that, who had put it in their legislation, very sensibly so, because these scooters with a micro front wheel are potentially very dangerous. So again, all the countries are kind of figuring this out as we go along, because it's brand new. We had to make up new laws for mobile phones when that technology was invented. People will recall, we actually had a debate about whether or not you should be allowed to use a phone while driving. Debate over.
Have the guards seized scooters then?
Scooters, yes. E-bikes, no. And I was talking to them yesterday. I was pushing them to see if we had any data on that. And quite fairly, they're unwilling to say this. Look, at the moment, it's anecdote because it's very, very new. The law is only a year old. This kit is only a couple of months old. But anecdotally, they are finding modified scooters. So, you know, it just seems to be one of those kind of...
Is it an offence then to drive one of these things?
Yes, but it's an offence that has almost no consequences, which is a bit of a pity. So let's say...
No, because I was just thinking, if they're going to end up in court accused of driving a modified e-scooter, then it becomes an industry for the lawyers. They'll love it.
Yeah, exactly. But as of right now, let's say you're caught tomorrow. Cathy's one is not compliant, whatever it is. If you're caught tomorrow, the equipment can be seized by the Gardaí, and that's good. That's got a nice deterrent value. Take it away and store it, and when you pay what is very invariably a very modest fine, you get to redeem your property.
Even though it's ungoverned, you don't have to fix it again.
You don't have to fix it because the offence was using it in a public road, not owning it, and it is your property. So we might have to look at that going forward. Like, if you have deliberately modified the scooter so that you can tear around the place, you know, perhaps it might be reasonable for a more severe punishment. But as of right now, the offence you're committing is not modifying the scooter, because you can tear around your farm on that to your heart's content. The offence was using it on a public road. So they can take it off you, but you pay a small fine and you get it back, which is pretty toothless.
I mean, it should be the equivalent of the cost of the scooter.
Well, it should be reasonably punitive. Yeah. I mean, if you've done it with malicious intent, if you've done it deliberately to circumvent safety rules on the road, well, you know, to my mind, there should be a somewhat more significant consequence than the reality, which is you get the inconvenience of taking the bus, but then you essentially turn up at the Garda station and get your property
back. Now, there's another anomaly, which I don't know whether it'll be picked up by the dynamometers on the roadside, but there are e-bikes out there and they're heavy-looking yokes. They would be almost impossible to pedal and get anywhere. If your battery went flat, you wouldn't be able to cycle them. They're so heavy. But they effectively operate as motorbikes. You just touch the pedal, which is supposed to be pedal-assisted. Yeah. You know, that's really like pressing the starting button.
Yeah, I agree completely. And there's a touch of a contrived swizz. I have to put a micro amount of forward momentum on my pedals and then the e-motor kicks in. So I think we're going to have to sort of stop faking it here. These things are too light and too modest to be truly described as motorbikes. But I think if they can stick to the criteria, if they are light two-wheeled vehicles governed to 20 or 25 kph, behaving in the manner that bicycles behave, then personally, I'm not fussed about that.
Have you seen them? They're heavy pieces of kit. If you were hit by one, you'd know all about it.
So if you've got something that weighs, 20, shall we say, a bike that weighs 9 or 10 kilos and it's power assisted, I mean, that's fine. If you've got one of these cargo bikes that, you know, might weigh 50 kilos and it's travelling at 25 kph, it now becomes, you know, potentially a much more threatening impact. So I think as this law matures, as this technology matures, we may indeed have to go back and look at the sort of the shape, the road signature, the, protruding items like trailers and the overall weight of these things. Because, you know, if I have an 80 kilogram cargo bike doing 25 kph, that's a much different proposition.
Yeah, but there may be a couple of kids in the cargo bike.
Indeed, yeah. So we want them there.
Absolutely.
Great piece of technology.
It's a great piece of technology. Yeah. Now, we've got these dynamometers as an idea from the Dutch.
Yeah.
Why don't we just study what the Dutch are doing? They are light years ahead of us in terms of cycling infrastructure and everything else. We insist on reinventing the wheel for Ireland when there may be perfectly good wheels invented elsewhere, yeah, which will do the job for us.
Yeah, and the Dutch are very, very good at that. The Dutch, the Danes, the Swedes, your classic world leaders on all things cycling. In the Netherlands, 28% of all journeys are done by bicycle, which is phenomenal. Incidentally, the Dutch have no compulsory helmet law. Don't like compulsory helmets. It's not in their law. And helmet usage is very low. It's only around 3%. And yet Dutch cycling casualties are also very low. So a phenomenon happens whereby you get a critical mass of cyclists and it actually makes everything safer for everybody.
The separation infrastructure. That makes a huge difference. If you segregate cyclists from traffic, obviously, the nature of the injuries, if you fall off your bike without hitting a car or a truck.
Good and bad in that, Pat. You don't want to create sort of cycling motorways. Also,
no, but what I'm saying is safety is linked to segregation.
Well, they build it in. They build it in, yeah. And so they design and allow, which incidentally, I mean, Dublin City Council and South Dublin City Council, please take note. It doesn't mean if you come along and tear up a perfectly good cycle lane and put in a ridiculously over-engineered piece of nonsense with curbs and chicanes and red tarmac and this, that and the other, that you've magically made it safer. I mean, sometimes the mere fact of spending money on segregating infrastructure is wasteful and doesn't help. And you have to think about the cyclist journey, where help is needed is at places like junctions, for example, rather than flowing along the side of the road. But you're right. I mean, the Dutch can teach us an awful lot about how to do that well. We're starting to do it quite well, I think.
I'm handing Conor my phone because I have a picture there of a new cycling infrastructure at Fossa in County Kerry. Now, they're putting in cycle lanes. And this is on the road that leads to the Ring of Kerry.
Okay? Yeah.
And what are you looking at there?
I'm looking at what is essentially going to turn out to be a bus motorway with a segregated cycle track beside.
On either side.
On either side.
And two buses trying to pass each other and they look like they're going to scrape each other.
They do. The two buses are practically touching wing mirrors on a road that has been artificially narrowed on either side to put in place a cycle track, which will be enormous, which will be enormous. And I think it's a really good example, Pat. In my own neck of the woods, I mean, I live on the Firhouse Road. I've been cycling the Firhouse Road for over 20 years. In the last decade, they put in three different cycle tracks. None of them needed, none of them better than the one before. And right now, they are putting in, I mean, they cut down trees to do it. They are putting in what is a ludicrously, and I do mean ludicrously, over-engineered and unnecessary cycle track, which when they're finished will actually make the cyclist's experience, my experience, significantly worse than it was before. And this is their purpose as they're delaying traffic on the Firhouse Road right now. At some stage, we'll have to do a deep dive on how many bike shed equivalents are being wasted on this. But it has been driven by this policy in recent years that you must spend money on bikes. If you want to spend any money on roads, you must spend on bikes as well. And this counts. Bit silly.
Conor Faulkner, transport commentator, consultant to the RIAC. Conor, thank you very much for joining us.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.